Very good afternoon, Namibia, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin on this Monday, the 19th of May, 2025 edition of yet another news bulletin. Now we have an exciting lineup of news and developments to analyze as we begin the week, pardon me, and start off this week, very well. Now offering much needed, insight to you. Now, thank you for tuning in to On the Radar, your trusted source for comprehensive news coverage, breaking stories, in-depth analysis, and exclusive reports. To stay informed through our Eagle FM mobile app or our website and radio frequencies, bringing you real-time updates on current affairs, politics, business, technology, health, entertainment, and so much more. Do join the conversation and don't forget to subscribe to the Villager WhatsApp for the latest updates. Now remember, you can also engage with us in studio on 083-288-401 throughout today's show. So stay with us. Now let's get started with today's news. A time-release study conducted by NAMRA on the Trans-Karahari border post has revealed that it takes about 5 and 4 hours to clear import and export goods respectively. Now conducted between the 15th and the 25th of January 2024, the study aimed to reveal how long it took for goods to pass through the Trans-Karahari border post in an effort to test border efficiency in regards to clearance of people and goods respectively. Now the study released in May 2025 has revealed that imported goods entered Namibia can take up to 5 hours and 31 minutes to receive clearance into the country, whereas it can take up to 4 hours for export goods to receive clearance to leave the border post. My colleague Sean Jordan Khoiseb reached out to economist Peter Franz to discuss on this further. Let's take a listen to that.
Hello, Eagle FM. This is Sean Jordan Uisip, and we would like to welcome you to On the Radar. On the show today, we have Mr. Peter Franz, economist, to give us a little bit of background on the time readiness study that was released by NAMRA. Thank you for joining us, Mr. Franz.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
All right, thank you. So just for a little bit of background, for those of us who don't know, the during the 15th of January to the 21st of January, NAMRA released a study on the Trans-Karahari border post, where they looked at how quickly the flow of traffic is between the posts. So how quickly goods come in and goods leave the border post, right? And essentially, they found that with import goods, it takes about 5 hours and 31 minutes to enter the country, and export goods take about 4 hours. So I think our first question should be, how does this long stretches of delay in time affect the Namibian economy and specifically the Namibian people, in your professional opinion?
Yes, that's a very good question. So firstly, when there's a delay in the delivery of goods, yeah, that's also, it creates, it's make a certain product to be demanded more compared to as it was supposed to be. So in that will result into the prices being an instability of prices, because when that particular product is low on the market, so the prices will go up due to the demand. Now, when the product comes into the country, it will find the price already high. So when the product comes into the country, they will tend to lower the prices. So there will be that instability of the prices. There will be that fluctuation in prices. And on the economy at large, so it's basically at some point when the delay takes very long, it's actually some sellers, or producers will be out of business because of this stock. And also, it also creates that bad image for the business, because it's a thing of unreliable business kind of sort.
So
in that case, a lot of clients would even panic because of that instabilities.
All right. Well, thank you so much for that. So I think our next question is about a lot of the complaints, specifically with regards to the types of the types of reasons why these extended delays are occurring. Specifically, with regards to the specific type of selection process that the Border Post uses, especially the ASYCUDA selection process, where they use the where they use different tactics in order to list different goods as full inspection entries, document check entries, pre or post document check entries. So I wanted to ask you, the study found that most of the reasons why this delay occurs is due to the red lane or the full inspection entries that the Border Post takes in. What is your opinion on the efficiency of the selection process? And do you have any thoughts on how this could maybe be improved in the future?
Yes. So firstly, also you should also understand that most of the government revenues comes from the tax, be it the personal tax or the tariffs that is being imposed. So I feel like those processes, the process should be there, should be used, utilized, but it should also be improved in terms of the delays, in terms of the time it takes for the inspection to take place. So in that case, we in Namibia, if you see, let's say offshore, we have two ports, which mainly in the Semnyoma port, the one in Kidmans or Lutwet somewhere there, and the one in Valdres. So those can be used as alternative for instead of using the Trans-Kalahari only. So if we can use other ports, we can also, I think we can expect the process to speed up in that case. And also one more important thing is just that, you know, when the inspections are not being done thoroughly in a country where there are a lot of goods that are not allowed to enter, such as maybe drugs, those kind of things. So we will expect the increase of those kind of products to be sold in Namibia if those processes are not taken into consideration. However, that should also not hinder with the fact that the process should speed up just for the delivery to be done on time.
All right. So earlier you had mentioned about the increase in tariff rates and all of that. Could you give us just a bit of background on what you meant by that and how this could affect Namibian pockets?
Yes. So when the product, you see, as a country, people mostly encourage exports compared to imports, right? So just for our own product to be known abroad and those kind of suits. So when the product is coming into the country, let's say for a country where we don't have a good trade relationship with, so in that case, those tariffs were supposed to be imposed, which also benefit the Namibian economy with Namibian products. In a case where, like, most of the infant businesses that are competing with international companies or big companies that are operates internationally. So in that case, it helps the Namibian producers. It also helps the governments to pocket those kind of funds into the country. However, there are also some drawbacks when tariffs are imposed, because most of the products are not being produced in the country. So in that case, it would be a disadvantage to the economy.
Right. So one of the biggest complaints that was lobbied in the survey was for things of a sensitive nature. So goods for sensitive goods like fuel, medications, pharmaceutical ingredients and things of that nature. So yes, as an economist, seeing that these are the goods that we need for a thriving economy, what is your opinion on this and what would you say can be done to expedite the process, especially for sensitive goods? As I had mentioned before.
Say that again. I didn't hear the last part.
Oh, I was saying, sensitive goods like fuel and medication and drugs have been lobbied as the main issue when it comes to the rate of flow. So yes. What, in your opinion, what solutions can you think up, especially for these ones, to make sure that these goods can move through the border as quickly as possible?
Yes. So when goods are being exported or imported, they are in categories. It's like there's this clothing products, these pharmaceutical products, fuel products, and so. And people also knows the agency of those particular products. So, but sometimes it also depends on who is bringing the particular products in the country. Is it known that this particular product is coming? And to that extent, it also depends on the country where the products are coming from, because there are some countries that are not well trusted when it comes to particular products. So in that case, what we can do is just to put categories on those products at least, so the process can just go up front, and who is importing those particular products. So the paper should be there, everything should be clear and transparent where the product is going and who is importing that particular product and what is really being imported in that situation. Because people tend to import with different reasons. You never know. The person will claim that no, this is paracetamol, but the person perhaps have bombs inside there. So those kind of things should be taken into consideration. And also, we should also we should also put more strength on those kind of products and the country that we normally import from.
Okay, so the report also fully highlighted the efficiency of the border hindering the relationship between Namibia and the Namibian economy and the Southern African Customs Union, the SADC region, and the COMESA Common Market for Eastern and Southern Africa, respectively. So, in your opinion, right? So we've touched on the imports mostly, but in your opinion, how will this delay affect the relationship that Namibia and the Namibian economy and Namibian businesses have with these regional bodies?
Yes. So, firstly, we have to bring it down to franchisers. If you know, most of the shops around here are franchisers. And when you have an outlet, a franchise outlet, you have to, there are some conditions. They condition your supplier. Sometimes they tell you that, you strictly have to get this kind of products from this particular country, let's say from the mother country. So in that case, when the process is delayed, there will be hiccups on the revenue of other countries. So they will tend to complain more because of their market, of their income, and also the tax that is being delayed on the other side of the world. So what happened is, when it comes to the Namibian economy, when it comes to the Namibia and other African trade countries, it's actually the delay in the income that happens. So in that case, it makes Namibia unreliable, and it makes them, so it will be a thing of they are delaying the process on purpose, so they can perhaps, so maybe the domestic the domestic businesses might perhaps thrive, but it's not the case. It's just the border system. So in that case, there will be that kind of problems, which may also hinder the relationship between these two countries.
All right. So finally, the study provided a few recommendations to help the process of clearing goods and people, respectively, easier and more smoother. So the first recommendation they had here was to empower clearing agents to fully process declarations, including assessments and payments. And this was done through, told to be done through implementing pre-clearance procedures through a dedicated document processing center. And so, basically, as an economist, how important is it to have a document processing center and an electronic way to expedite the process of clearance for you? And how does the presence of electronic devices and electronic processes expedite processes in your line of work?
Okay. So as you know that when they bring up the agent center, that means there will be a lot of jobs that will be created within the economy, and you know as the population increases, there should also be job opportunities to be produced. So in that case, the economy will be happy because there will be a number of people that will be employed at those particular centers, and which will also benefit the government when it comes to the tax revenues. And also when it comes to technology, when it comes to electronic devices, you know, it's time efficiency. And it's also very cheap. And maybe it's, the first to set it up, it's expensive, but as time goes, you'll realize that the costs are being minimized. The time that's being spent there, it's also minimized and so on. And you should also, I would also like to give an example of NAMTA, is it AMTA?
Mm.
AMTA, it's an agent that was supposed to present the people in agriculture, the agricultural SMEs and all other businesses. But you see how AMTA handled their things, how our own products, how difficult is it for them to penetrate in our own market. So it's also have disadvantages of that case. Maybe perhaps the agency might only favor one side of the population and might not serve for the purpose of everyone to benefit.
Mm.
Yes.
All right. Well, thank you so much for joining us today. It was such a pleasure to have you and have your insights.
Thank you for having me. It's always a pleasure.
All right. Thank you.
This is On The Reader News Bulletin. We're just getting started with our news. We'll be back shortly to bring you yet more. Stay tuned.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Welcome back. You are tuned into On The Reader News Bulletin. Now we move on to other news items. Nedbank Namibia has handed over more than 500,000 to 20 students who will study at the Nedbank Agra Agricultural Academy. Now, our colleague David Shombe attended this handover ceremony. Good afternoon, David, and welcome to On The Reader News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, Joe.
Mm-hmm.
Good afternoon, Juju. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. So, go kindly go into detail of what the handover was all about, and towards what exactly is it intended for?
Yeah, thank you very much once again. And today, as you have mentioned, Nedbank offered more than 500,000 to support 20 students to study agriculture and also other technical skills at Agra Academy.
Mm-hmm.
And this was in partnership with Agronomic Board and also Agra Limited. And what is very interesting is that when you look at this being head over, it came at the right time where Namibians are also fighting to promote food security,
mm-hmm.
and also to make sure that Namibia become sustainable in terms of food production. And maybe one thing that you need to understand is that apart from 560,000 which was given today to 20 students, this institution is recognized continentally,
mm-hmm.
and is at the level of certificate and diploma, and is accredited with South Africa institutions.
Yeah.
And I happened to get into the conversation with the manager for communication, Selma Kaulenge,
mm-hmm.
Who is working for, at Nedbank, and she indicated that in terms of promoting food security,
yeah,
it does not only require Nedbank, it requires other institutions, private sector, as you have seen that there are three institutions. You have Agra Limited, then you have Agronomic Board, then Nedbank, then there was also a presence of the Minister of Agriculture,
Inge Zamani.
Yeah, Honorable Inge Zamani, representing mm-hmm. the Prime Minister. And she was very happy to be there.
Mm.
And she indicated that Namibia can't do anything without partnership. And to me, I think this was, and it's a great initiative.
Yeah.
Training 20 students. And I also ask about the future of these students after they graduate, because remember, like what happened last week, around 60,000 students got into the job market from NAST.
Mm-hmm.
And you still have on top of that others who are still trying to find jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Then they said, look, this is not just a training. It's also training them in agribusiness, and it's also training them to create their own job. And interestingly, these students are also going to be used as consultants to institutions like Agronomic Board.
Yeah.
And those words were also cemented by the CEO of Agronomic Board to say, we are not just training students for the sake of training
mm-hmm,
them in
mm-hmm.
terms of agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
We are also training them because even some of our employees, the word of Agronomic Board CEO, some
yeah.
of their employees, they lack that capacity, particularly those who are working at the border, and said some of the employees also happen to benefit from this training. And I think it's a very good thing, like if you are in Namibia
mm-hmm.
and there is a training which is guaranteeing you to go somewhere after graduation, I think that is a very good thing.
Of course.
And not only theoretical, but at least technical.
And practical.
And you do believe me, you, mm-hmm. technical skills are what is needed currently for us to move the economy forward.
Of course.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I do like also something that the CEO of Agronomic Board,
yeah.
that is Mr. Fidel Mwanzi, stated
yeah.
that the future of the crop sector rests in the hands of Namibians.
Yeah.
And that's a very powerful statement, hey? When we talk about, oftentimes when we're talking about high export imports
yeah.
from other countries, especially South Africa, such as fruits or vegetables that we ourselves can grow right here.
Yeah.
So the initiative of 20 students, training 20 students,
yeah.
Or actually funding 20 students, will go a long way.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, we that would fill the gap. If we keep on going, if Namibia keeps on going the way it's going now in terms of agriculture, we every now and then we are singing the song of agriculture. If we
yeah.
do it practically, David,
yeah.
I think we will close the gap of when it comes to food security,
yeah.
we'll close that gap of depending on other countries.
When you look at the statement of the minister, because the Minister of Agriculture was speaking, representing the Right Honorable Prime Minister,
yeah,
and she indicated to say, we must move away from these things of talking,
mm.
yeah, and we must see a practical implementation mm. of what is being said, and yet to see what will happen. But I think, to me, there is a bit of a direction,
yeah,
and there's a bit of a direction in terms of administration. But as in the words of the minister, I'm also waiting to see what will happen, because a lot of great initiatives
mm-hmm.
are being put
mm-hmm.
in place.
Mm-hmm.
But when you look at impact, there's a little bit of questions to say, how are these people going to benefit the Namibian economy?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe lastly, on top of that, one thing which was one thing which was mentioned is also the effect of partnership. Because in Namibia we have a tendency of who started what, who supporting what.
Mm.
And in terms of agriculture, I think that is what all the institutions, heads of institutions have said, and I think it's going to create an impact.
Yeah.
And we are still waiting to see, and we are still going to report to say what happened to these 20 students. Did they only manage to get their own employment, or they also happen to create their own jobs? Because remember, this is not the University of Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
It's not University of South Africa. It's continental recognized academy where professionals are being trained from the whole continent.
Yeah.
And when you are recognized with a South Africa ranking, that is it's a very powerful thing.
Mm.
Because when you look at African education,
mm-hmm.
South Africa is one of the countries with quality education.
Mm-hmm.
And I think top five universities in Africa, three of them I think come from South Africa. And when mm-hmm. you look at the education which is being backed by South Africa, you realize to say, we might be going somewhere.
Mm.
And interestingly also, if you are trained in agriculture and you're a professional from SA, remember we depend more in South Africa for food. Maybe we'll be able to produce our own food also.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that is, in short, regarding the handing over of bursaries to these 20 students.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm. Interesting. David Chombe, thank you so much for making time for us right here on the Reader News Bulletin.
Thank you, Juju.
Okay. And now we pause here, take a trip to the marketplace, but you're also invited to partake in the news bulletin. Our studio number is 083-288-401.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. The Namibia Statistics Agency has released the latest Consumer Price Index report showing that the annual inflation rate for April 2025 stood at 3.6%, down from 4.8% recorded in April 2024. Now, on a monthly basis, inflation increased modestly by 0.2% compared to 0.5% in the previous month. The report highlights regional variations, with Zone 3, that consists of Karas, Erongo, Hardap, Omaheke regions, recording the highest year-on-year rate of 4.1%, Zone 1 consisting of Kavango East, Kavango West, Kunene, Ohangwena, Omsati, Oshana, Oshikoto, and Oshosunzuba and Zambezi regions, had a slightly lower rate of 3.7%. Meanwhile, Zone 2, which consists of only Commerce region, recorded the lowest rate of 3.2%. Now, key contributors to inflation as the Consumer Price Index report indicated, remain food and non-alcoholic beverages, which together make up a significant portion of the Namibia Consumer Price Index basket. Now, food prices in particular have shown notable increases in recent months, impacting household budgets across the country. Food and non-alcoholic beverages recorded an annual rate of 1.1% in April 2025, in contrast to the 1.0% recorded in April 2024. Now, according to the Namibia Statistics Agency, products such as pure sunflower oil of 750 milliliters was bought for 33.43 Namibian dollars in Zone 2, which is the highest price paid, followed by Zone 1 at 32 Namibian dollars and 58 cents, while Zone 3 recorded the lowest price of 31 Namibian dollars and 95 cents. Now, this highlights the dependency of Namibia on imports for many food items, making it vulnerable to fluctuations in global prices and exchange rate movements. Now, miscellaneous goods and services have proven to have a minimum impact on inflation and have a small portion of the Namibia Consumer Price Index basket. Miscellaneous goods and services registered an annual rate of 0.2%, equaling the same 0.2% of the previous year. These goods and services have been nicknamed once in a while due to their scarcity and independence, unlike food and non-alcoholic beverages that people depend on. NICP, that is the Namibia Consumer Price Index report, is crucial for economic policy formulation, especially for monetary policy aimed at maintaining price stability and managing consumer spending. The index is compiled monthly from prices collected at retail outlets nationwide and published after the referenced month. Now, with that being said, let's pause here and visit the marketplace. When we do return, we'll be back with yet more news bulletin right here on the radar. Also, do take note that you can also partake in the news bulletin. Our studio number is open. 083-288-401 is the number in studio. I'll see you after the commercial break.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.0.
Welcome back. Let's now discuss other news, which is in relation to Chinese investment in Africa, with key trends and top recipients. Now, from 2023 to 2022, China invested over $390 billion in Africa, with Nigeria topping the list at $77.6 billion. South Africa came in at $33.6 billion, and Egypt at $31.7 billion, now emerging as the top recipients. Source-rich nations like Angola benefited at $39 billion, and the Democratic Republic of Congo at $22.4 billion also attracted significant foreign direct investment, now reflecting China's focus on minerals, energy, and infrastructure. Smaller economies such as Mauritius benefited at $12.7 billion and Ethiopia at 10.4 $1.5 billion US dollars, so notable inflows, while countries like Somalia and Libya recorded minimal investment, highlighting disparities in regional development. Now we're going to break this down with my colleague Sean Jordan Kuiseb. Good afternoon, Sean, and welcome to On the Radar News Bulletin.
Good afternoon, and thank you for having me.
So, Sean, what does this data actually reveal on China's investment into African countries?
It is clear that the data reveals strategic priorities, with West and Southern African countries accounting for the largest shares of Chinese capital. We see this most concurrently with investments in countries like Zambia, with 15.7 billion, mm-hmm. and Sudan, 16.1 billion, which underscore China's long-term infrastructure and mining interests.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, island nations like the Seychelles, who have received $3.23 billion, and Cape Verde with $0.12 billion, reflect niche opportunities in tourism and trade. As China continues to shape Africa's economic landscapes, these trends offer insights into evolving partnerships and future growth sectors.
Interesting. I'm actually just wondering, where does Namibia fall into this, in this investments of China? Perhaps it just wasn't recorded, but I'm certain that they have benefited from investments. I know it's mostly in regards to minerals. Mm. I guess China looking into certain minerals that I'm sure they use for their industries, or that they maybe to produce certain things. What do you say?
Well, as we are aware, China is fast becoming and fast emerging as the world's leading producer of electronic goods,
mm-hmm.
in the country, in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, these investments allow China to trade with African countries for raw materials.
Yeah.
Like, for example, the $39 billion investment we've seen in the Democratic Republic of Congo,
mm-hmm.
allows for trade with lithium, which is a very important mineral in the batteries we use for everyday devices.
Mm.
And also, to answer your question, Namibia falls surprisingly quite low on the scale,
mm-hmm.
with $4.4 billion in investments.
Mm-hmm.
But even with those very small investments, we still see a significant impact in our local economies as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, like I mentioned before, China has and is seen as one of the world's biggest producers of electronic gadgets,
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
one of the biggest innovators in the world.
Mm-hmm.
And as such, these investments ensure that continuous trade between African countries and China are continued. As well as one of the biggest indicators that we've seen from the Chinese FDI chart was that China is also seen as one of the world's biggest value adders. So what they tend to do is they take the raw materials and the resources from
mm-hmm.
African countries,
mm-hmm.
with significant investments, of course,
mm-hmm.
and then they add value to them and they create the finished products that they then can give back to African countries to sell at a lower price due to the investments involved.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Quite interesting. Now, just Friday, we did speak about Namibia's foreign direct investments,
yes.
whereby it generated a lot of foreign direct investments. But part of that, only partially of it actually gets Namibians to benefit from that. Let's put it like that. And frankly, now, of course, these figures are so high, with Nigeria coming in at $77.6 billion US dollars. And that's a lot. And you would think, hey, that economy of Nigeria really benefited that much. But usually some of those foreign investments, foreign direct investments, don't benefit the people at hand. Maybe they feel closer to the work itself, but generally doesn't benefit the local people itself. You know, the economy doesn't really go as the figure reveals. Now, while we're still on that, what do you think perhaps could be done to ensure that local people also benefit? Or maybe what could be done perhaps to ensure that the foreign direct investments that are being brought in, a major chunk actually goes to the local businesses or the local people?
Well,
First of all, we need to define what it is that you're actually asking.
Mm.
What you're asking is, what you're trying to describe is mm-hmm. a trickle-down economic system.
Yeah.
And it is clear that that does not really happen specifically because people do actually not benefit from that.
Yeah.
The best way I can say is that it's up to the government. When they receive the investment from China or from wherever else they receive it from, they need to create policies that ensure that people at the grassroots level can receive this money, can receive the investments, can benefit from this. It's something it's a burning issue, yes, because it's true. Like, you see 77.5 billion invested, but they are still hungry people, and they're still people who can't access food, education, all of these important things.
Mm-hmm.
But it's clear that it falls on the shoulders of the government, the African government, because creating those policies and creating those pathways within policy and lawmaking will make it easier for people to be able to benefit directly from those
investments.
Yes.
Mm. While we are still there, Sean, one thing that always comes to my mind is how China actually trains its students or trains its children. Should I put it like that? Because they start off from a very young age where they are trained industrial-wise, while opposed to us, we are so theory-based. But all along the way, we've come to realize that theory-based is not really benefiting everyone per se, you know. There's that saying of to say, you can teach, if you expect the frog to climb the tree, you will spend it will spend the rest of its life thinking it's useless, while its best place is to be in water, you know, immersed in water. Now, I was still there, of course, with this investments from China. What about perhaps companies trying to really plug in from China to actually train up their children or train up their people from a very, you spoke about grassroots earlier, yes. But in this time around, I mean, to train up children from a very young age so that they can be able to benefit the local economy, you know, at hand. But before you do answer that question, we do have a scheduled commercial break, and we'll back in with that discussion when this is over.
Onkundana ombwanawa kani hauto. Owa pumbwa oshimaliwa meendelelo. Ndele ouna osheenditho. Ouna aniilonga ya pumbwa okufutwa. Ashike mboka yina oondjodhoe otayeende kashona. Ngele onkalamwenyo otayi nyengana, AutoCash otayi ningi ompu. Tu etela ohauto yoye, eto pewa epresenda 45% dongushu yosheenditho shoye. Muule ashike wemintetilo 45%. Ino pumbwa oka payslip nenge o statement ayombanga. Ohauto yoye ashike. Mona omula oshimaliwa ethimbo weshipumbwa.
Easy money.
Tudengela nena ko 0061 00 5745. Ano ko 0061 00 5745. Oshipulela ko AutoCash.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Yeah, and now we are back. Sean, as I was saying, and let me make it come into summary now, talking about industrialization, building in, as we are seeing now, the world is going industrial-wise, right? So, and China has invested so much in its people when it comes to that. How about Namibia and other countries also copy this style from China, you know, seeing that it's working for them, and this could really work for us as well. Of course, we're talking agriculture as well. That's another pointer. But I'm talking about industry instead of just theory-based. What about countries benefiting their people to go and to be trained with their hands, practical stuff, like VTC, vocational training schools? What do you say?
I do think that it is really important to have people in all sorts of trades. But it is also very clear that there is a very prevalent misconception about people who do BTC.
Yeah.
A lot of times people are from our country at least, people are seen as it's their last chance to do something because they couldn't get it to another university or do something theory based.
Yeah.
So getting away from that myth and actually embracing the trades that we actually need, because we all need plumbers, electricians.
Absolutely.
They all help us,
of course,
keep the world moving. And I think encouraging and allowing for students to have a space to innovate in school is incredibly important. What I mean by that is having classes where kids can tinker around with robotics, with like electric circuits, stuff like that, can have access to computers and have access to these latest technologies to be able to keep up with the latest trends in the world. I think that is what is needed. That is the gap, because vocational schools do exist. These specialized schools for IT and computers, they do exist.
Coding
schools, they all exist. But unfortunately, that misconception of it being a last chance saloon for kids who
who probably didn't qualify to go to other universities and whatnot.
It's that stigma that's associated with going to VCT is something that really does need to be broken down.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree completely. With that being said, we now pause here and take a trip to the marketplace. We'll be back with yet more news. Do stay tuned. You can also dial up our studio number on 083-288-401. As for now, we'll see you after the commercial break.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077. Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back, and now we take you through economic indicators that are making headlines today. Non-agricultural commodities, the top commodity gainers are palm oil at 2.07%, wheat at 1.21%, and corn at 0.86%. The biggest losers are rice at minus 1.16% and cheese at minus 0.85%. On metal commodities, the top commodity losers are lithium carbonate at minus 1.24%. Gains are led by gold at 0.83% and copper at 0.71%, with silver at 0.50%. Now, an energy commodity, top energy commodity market is characterized by modest daily movements, with natural gas standing out as the front runner with a minus 2.76% decrease. Mainland Chinese stocks ended flat on Monday, with the Shanghai Composite closing at 3,368, while the Shenzhen component was little changed to 10,171, as investors assessed a bunch of mixed economic. Now, the economic data, April's retail sales growth slowed and fell short of expectations, reflecting weak domestic consumption and sluggish income growth. However, industrial output beat forecasts but slowed from March pace, while the unemployment rate edged down. Germany's 10-year bond yield hovered around 2.6%, slightly below the six-week high of 2.69%, reached on May 14. Now, as the risk of sentiment dominated markets and investors reassessed the global economic outlook, particularly in the United States. The annual inflation rate in Australia, rose to 3.1% in April 2025 from 2.9% in the previous month. In line with preliminary estimates, prices escalated mainly for education at 5% versus 2.3% in March, and miscellaneous goods and services at 5% versus 4.7%. While it remained unchanged for furnishings, household equipment and maintenance at 5.2% and transport at 4.8%. Additionally, costs declined at a softer pace for health at minus 0.8% versus minus 0.9%. Meanwhile, inflation moderated for food and non-alcoholic beverages at 2.9% versus 3.9%, and alcoholic beverages and tobacco at 2.6% versus 3.7%, while it decreased for housing and utilities at minus 0.7% versus 0.2%. The nickel fell at 255 points or 0.7% to close at 37,499 after a flat performance in the prior session, while the broader topics edged down almost 0.1%, marking its second consecutive subsidy day. A sharp drop in U.S. futures rattled sentiment after Moody's downgrade of the U.S. Now, credit outlook raised fears of a potentially flight from U.S. assets. Meanwhile, the White House kept up trade pressure, with Trade Secretary Bensett warning that partners would face maximum tariffs if they failed to negotiate in good faith. Investors remain cautious, closely watching U.S.-Japan trade talks as Tokyo aims to finalize a deal in June. Now, that's what we had for you today in regards to economic indicators that are making headlines today. With that being said, let's pause here and we'll be back shortly.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2. Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
This May, it's time to celebrate excellence, achievement, and the future. The International University of Management will proudly host its 2025 Winter Convocation Ceremony, taking place over two exciting days, Thursday 22nd and Friday 23rd May 2025 at the elegant Window Country Club Resort. Now, with two graduation sessions each day, we are honoring the hard work and dedication of our incredible graduates. Can make it in person? No problem. Join us from anywhere. All four sessions will be live streamed on the IUM Facebook page. Thursday 22nd May 2025 graduation ceremony will be live on Eagle FM from 8 a.m. Join us in celebrating the future of Namibia, because at IUM, we are advancing knowledge and training leaders. Save the dates and stay tuned in.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Listen to Eagle FM in Lodritz at 91.2 FM. Listen to Eagle FM in Omthea at 90.5. Listen to Eagle FM in Mariental at 101.2. Listen to Eagle FM in Okahanja at 104.2.
Did you know that in Namibia, over 1.4 million people use their mobile device to access the internet? So why not meet your current and potential customers where they already are? With over 600,000 cumulative users around the world, between the Eagle FM and Imba mobile apps, Eagle Media House has the perfect digital platforms for you to advertise your business, upcoming events, weddings, vacancies, funerals, or any other announcement that you have on their digital billboards in their mobile applications. Put your ad on our digital billboards, and with one tap of the screen, lead users directly to an address of your choosing. For more information, contact Hende at 081-410-9077. That's 081-410-9077.
Welcome back, and now we take you to news beyond the borders. Of course, we start off regionally, then we move over to continental news. Thereafter, we bring you international news. Now we're starting off in South Africa, whereby one dead in an N12 protest. Let's take a listen.
For this developing story, one person has reportedly died during the violent protests that are currently underway at the Diepkloof interchange in Soweto. In fact, the Diepkloof hostel residents there are causing significant traffic disruptions. Protesters have blocked major highways with rocks and burning tires, calling for better water supply, sanitation and infrastructure. The demonstration has also seen instances of looting. Watching developments for us is our SABC News reporter Puseletso Mokoena, who is live at the scene. And Puseletso, a lot has happened in just the last hour alone. Help us get us to speed with what you've seen so far.
Well, of course, we're coming to you live from the Diepkloof Hostel here in Soweto, whereby the residents here
were protesting rather with the because of the service delivery that they are not getting in this place. But we know that during the protest, this protest led to the death of one person who has died and the other one who was badly injured. But I just want to bring in a resident who is also a witness of what happened. Baba, ungasondela lana ukuthi uzosichazela ukuthi kwenzakaleni uboneni as a resident yela e hostel. Thank you so much for your time. Sicela ukuthi usichazele ukuthi uboneni wena ukuthi kwenzakaleni before umuntu eshot.
Ya into eyenzekele la kune truck eli belilahlekile langena la e hostel. Bangene hostela so kune strike vele. They rushed to hospital right here in Para, and again it's the same track. It's the same track. Na kona wewe tu chavu ulitavelo na uluze you control. Ogutu ogutu in SSS tanga kul ugutu begaya ape hostel begaya ape.
Actually telling us that they will look they will look for that company that has came here and caused so much pain to them. Well, essentially telling us that the person who has died, a man who has died, was not part of the protest. Sadly, he was just sitting around doing his own things, but he was caught up in the protest, leading to the death of his life. But I'm just gonna step out of the shot so that my camera colleague Herbert Memela can just show you around the residents who are standing there. As you can see, they are really not happy. As you can see, where they are standing, they.
Meanwhile, Lesotho and the EU have strengthened ties with focus on inclusion, renewable energy and governance.
Held mid-month week in the city of Maseru, people going about their business, and for many it's just another day to make ends meet. But behind closed doors in the high echelons of power, high-level meetings and discussions are taking place to find solutions to Lesotho's myriad of challenges.
So we are discussing issues that have to do with reforms, discussing issues that have to do with geopolitics and issues that have to do with our relations with the EU at a political level. But we are also discussing economic cooperation, where and what areas are necessary for us to look into as we look into cooperation. What are the priorities that we have as a country, where we are going, and for alignment. It's very important that we are aligned as we move forward, so that even the taxpayer of the EU, who is the giver in this case many times, the taxpayer is convinced that they are adding value to the lives of Basotho.
But building long-lasting partnerships requires strategic commitments that can bring both countries even closer to each other. Removing trade and movement barriers tops the list.
For most of the countries of the EU, we still need visas to come to the city. One would ask, as you were asking, is it necessary? If you are saying tourism is one of the key sectors that we want to develop, is there possibilities that we can lift those so that the citizens of the EU come into Lesotho freely, and they are able, therefore, to bring in transfers, to be able to spend in this country and things like those. So, and at the same time, issues of reciprocity. Could it be possible also that the EU could also open up for Basotho when they enter their countries? What are the requirements? What are the risks?
We also have PEPSA and CDC projects.
Following the United States of America's sudden pausing of aid, record high tariffs, and threat of pulling the plug on the second compact of the Millennium Challenge account to the tune of $300 million.
A combination of this collectively have devastating effects on the economy in terms of financing gaps, or a big financing gap that it creates, both in government but also both in government as well as in the private sector, where the investments are, especially in the garments industry. So negotiations are ongoing, of course. Engagements are ongoing. I can't say much about that for now, And it's also very difficult to say where we will end until we have settled, we have come to some kind of an agreement.
As economic woes continue to bite even harder and many hold on to their hard-earned cash, the minister warns against resorting to austerity measures.
Why am I saying we should not stop spending? Because stopping spending actually, you know, halts the economy. It freezes economic activity. We want economic activity to go on.
To unlock other.
Exactly. We want it to go on. But let us do so wisely.
The signed agreement between Lesotho and EU marked a decisive leap forward and transcends to being blocks of the Lesotho's many envisioned and aspire for advancing governance, renewable energy and a vibrant society. I'm Rapelang Khatebe for SABC News, Masego Lesotho.
Kenyans are urged to invest their money wisely.
Welcome back. You're watching News Desk. I'm here for Business at One. My name is Kelly Boss. Now, financial experts are urging Kenyans to invest their money wisely in order to maximize returns
President
and stay
Trump,
ahead of inflation.
Ago,
now, money markets have emerged as one near cash avenue for savings and investment,
and quote,
having gained popularity for excellent
the
returns
come after
recently.
The retail giant said this week that it would raise prices because of Trump's tariffs being too high.
You find that in our communities, there are always so many events that are going on. If you go to your church community, for example, there is the sadaka that we do, there is the tithe that we do. Then in there we have a women group that has monthly subscriptions, a men group with another one. And then in there somebody has died, so we need to raise funds for that. Another one is sick. Another one is doing a wedding. And so we end up having so many treasurers who are holding different pockets of our money in different places. And a lot of times we fight because the treasurer has used our money. So now in Giver, it's able to be robust. We're able to create all these pockets in this community, all these events, the wedding, the tithe, the sadaka, all of them are going on, and we are able to give them different pockets, how they are able to differentiate this money, and the members can contribute to these pockets separately. Then from there, we knew we wanted to add value to these communities. It's not just about collecting money from the people, but we wanted this money to also be able to help the community. So we grow this money by putting it in a money market fund.
Meanwhile, in Uganda, the private sector companies have joined efforts to extend agricultural services.
Our way of operation is not to do handouts anymore. We are trying to get a financial institution to finance this equipment. The equipment being given to them can pay back within one season. So it's just a more bringing the use to get access for the equipment and they pay back. We want to move away from handouts. It doesn't sustain and there's no ownership in it. We want them to own the process, and own the process means contributing to it. And that's why our slogan team take it to the farmers to work with the farmers. Working with the farmers means we want them to invest along. We want mostly public-private community partnership. No more handouts. The president has echoed this. There must be transformation. We must move from sustainable farming to commercial farming. We can't do that.
So agriculture is now moving work and it's a moving district. And the same thing with the maize. Maize is growing well, and whereby people are now getting some good nutrients from maize. We are teaching them how good nutrition is, and they are growing maize. They are getting some products from maize, as well as they are mixing maize and other products, which is helping some plants within children, the nutrients.
Ituri since May the 14th. Meanwhile, African leaders met on Saturday in Togo to discuss the DRC conflict. Togolese President Farah Nasingbe was appointed by the African Union to mediate the conflict between the M23 and the Congolese government in April this year. Some of those attending the meeting are former Nigerian President Olusegun Obasanjo, former Ethiopian President Saleh Work-Swede, as well as the former presidents of Kenya, Botswana, and the Central African Republic.
I spoke to a security official, a Congolese security official in Lubero territory, and he confirmed that these attacks have been going on in that area, Beni Lubero, and he said these attacks were carried out by members of a militia known as...
In DRC Congo, peace facilitators meet in Togo for deliberations.
The Allied Democratic Forces. This is an extremist militia that is originally from Uganda. It moved to eastern DRC and has been causing a lot of killings of civilians in that area. The Congolese government is currently conducting joint operations with Ugandan defense, People's Defense Forces to flush them out of that area, but they haven't been able to do so because the rebels have broken up into smaller numbers and are continuing to different areas, both in North Kivu and Ituri province. We also have the rebels of the Kodeko militia who have been wreaking havoc in Ituri province as well, and the government is also trying to rein them in, but it hasn't been easy. And this soldier who I spoke to said that they have also got intelligence information that the M23 rebels are planning to attack Beni, Lubero and Kasindi at the Ugandan border. So they are preparing for a showdown. And this is very worrying because there's currently an ongoing peace talks that are going on in Qatar between the DRC government representatives and the M23. And so many people have fled this latest round of violence in North Kivu and Ituri province. Authorities in Kinshasa are hoping that this conflict is brought to an end very soon because they have lost millions of dollars in buying arms, trying to end this conflict in eastern DRC. They have also lost a lot of soldiers. Infrastructure has been destroyed and civilians have died. So the Congolese government is welcoming all these initiatives, the one by the United States, Qatar, and the African Union that is led by the president of Togo, to ensure that, you know, this conflict is brought to an end. We have heard from different leaders, like the president of Rwanda, saying that there are too many initiatives going on at the same time, and he said that too many cooks spoil the broth. But for the DRC authorities, all they want is to see an end to this conflict, and they also want justice for the victims. So after all this is done, they want the International Criminal Court and other legal bodies to ensure that the victims of this conflict are given justice. And so that is the situation here. We're waiting for the United States led initiative in June this year. They're expected to sign a ceasefire. But what's happening on the ground is very, very disturbing, that both sides, the warring sides, seem to be preparing to continue to fight. And so people, the international community is calling on both of them to exercise some restraint for the sake of peace in that area. We're waiting.
Uganda is set to register over 2.5 million farmers by August.
Uganda has made notable progress in the mapping and registration of coffee farmers, with 50% already registered. Poor data governance could undermine all these efforts.
I am not worried about farmer registration. We shall be done maybe by August. The only issue we are working on now is data governance, data management and sharing, and traceability. But our collaboration with private sector and partners and government is working very hard, because we have the EUDR task force is working very hard to make sure that we have this in place, and we want to run a pilot actually around November.
As the countdown to the EUDR deadline intensifies, the consensus among participants is clear. Representatives from 25 African coffee-producing countries have gathered to fast-track compliance with the EU's deforestation-free policy, which threatens to lock out non-compliant exporters from the lucrative market.
Countries are really struggling. They haven't mapped the farmers. They don't have resources. So they have... As a continent, we have completely different challenges as far as compliance for EUDR is concerned. Some countries are lacking funds to implement compliance issues like registration of farmers, mapping of gardens, and awareness campaigns.
It is very clear that the majority of African countries may not be ready by December 2025 to become compliant. That means that we may not be able to export our coffee to Europe if this this regulation is effected. So what we have resolved today is to form a formidable force and negotiate more and engage the European Union and see what we can do at this level.
Coffee is a lifeline for 1.8 million small-scale Ugandan farmers. The risk of exclusion from the EU market is both an economic and human threat. Roana Habwe, NTV, Weekend Edition.
Meanwhile, suicide bombing kills nearly 20 people at Mogadishu military base,
where at least 20 people have been killed in a suicide bomb attack targeting young recruits at a military base in the country's capital, Mogadishu. Medical staff at a military hospital in the city have been treating those injured in the attack. Mohamed Kahia has more updates from Mogadishu.
Sources have confirmed to CGTN that at least 20 people were killed, including 15 recruits and 5 civilians, following a suicide attack outside a military recruitment base in Mogadishu. Armed with Al-Shabaab claimed the responsibility for this particular attack, saying it killed more than 30 recruits and wounded about 80 others. That claim cannot be independently verified. Dozens of the new recruits who were wounded in the attack were admitted at Somali Military Hospital in Mogadishu. A statement from the country's information ministry confirmed the attack, but did not disclose the exact number of casualties. Authorities have urged the public to remain calm and rely only on official government channels for accurate updates to avoid misinformation. Armed group Al-Shabaab has intensified its attacks on government targets in recent months, following Somali army operations that pushed the group from various areas. This latest attack comes as Somali government, together with its partners, are seeking funding for the new African Union peacekeeping mission operating in the country. Hamid Kahi, CGTN, Mogadishu, Somalia.
Togo women are using digital technology to drive transformation.
Driven by a desire to showcase Togolese craftsmanship, Afiwazi Azenlenko started Eagle Consulting, an innovative company that promotes made-in-Togo products online. This did not, however, come easy.
My main challenges were digital and communication-related. Promoting my products on social media, expanding my company and customer base, that was a big challenge for me. I can assure you that today I post my products on social media and they sell thanks to digital tools.
Akakpo, a beneficiary of the Nanotech program, a multifaceted initiative by the government aimed at empowering women entrepreneurs in the digital space, learned how to use social media strategically, create attractive visual content, and manage an online shop. Akakpo is not an isolated case. Many women like her are reshaping their future through digital empowerment. Marlene Chugli founded Sunclay, a startup that specializes in clay-based beauty products. For her, Nanotech was a real turning point.
Thanks to Nanotech, I've learned to manage projects. I've learned to develop a much more refined marketing strategy.
Nanotech is an initiative of the Togolese government aimed at empowering women entrepreneurs and those with digital skills to grow the digital economy. The program, named after the wealthy Togolese businesswomen of the 1960s, is paying off.
We are proud to have trained around 3,000 women across Togo. And today, when we run other activities, we meet entrepreneurs who share how much digital tools have helped their businesses.
On rencontre des entrepreneurs qui viennent.
With Nanotech, Togolese women are becoming a powerful lever of economic empowerment and claiming their place in the digital economy of tomorrow. Joy Kirukijuma, CGTN.
Meanwhile, in Nigeria, tomato Ebola leverages Nigeria's farms.
Tomatoes are more than just produce in Nigeria. They're a major source of income for farmers and traders alike. But a new wave of infestation by the tomato leaf miner is wreaking havoc. Nigeria's agriculture ministry estimates the losses at about $838,000. Tomato trader Aliu Magaji says the impact on his business has been severe.
Before, the big basket of tomatoes didn't cost more than 15,000 to 20,000 naira. But now, we purchase for as much as 80,000 to 90,000 naira for the same measure.
And it's not just traders feeling the pinch. Shoppers like Barbara Ura are also dealing with rising prices.
I can't even buy a full basket of tomato. What I can afford now is half, because I'm spending like two times what I could buy with the full basket.
Nigeria produces about 1.8 million metric tons of tomatoes annually. But with demand at over 2.3 million and expected to hit 2.7 million by 2026, the gap is only widening. What's worse, about 40% of harvested tomatoes go to waste due to poor storage. Now the return of Tuta absoluta pest is compounding the crisis, especially in three major tomato-producing states where the bulk of the losses have been recorded.
Their reproductive system is not like the normal ones. It multiplies fast. The farmers should always ensure that they maintain clean environment. They should always ensure that they do crop rotation. They should always plant resistant varieties, because there are some varieties of seeds that are actually resistant to some of these virus.
This latest outbreak comes as Nigeria continues to grapple with worsening food insecurity. Analysts warn that if swift action isn't taken, the pest could drive even more people into economic distress. Kelechi Emekalam, CGTN Abuja, Nigeria.
President Trump, a short time ago, telling Walmart that the...
President Donald Trump says to Walmart, eat the tariffs, don't pass them on to customers.
Companies should, I'm quoting now, eat the cost, end quote, of higher tariffs. The comments come after the retail giant said this week that it would raise prices because of Trump's tariffs being too high. Walmart has more than 4,600 stores in the U.S. It's also the biggest private employer in the country with 1.6 million workers. Several countries that supply Walmart include China, and they're facing tariffs between 10 and 30% right now. Augusta Sareva is a reporter for Bloomberg News, and she has been writing about this. Great to see you, Augusta. So President Trump is warning Walmart not to pass the tariffs on to the consumer. After Walmart has announced that it would have to do that, is it possible for Walmart to back down on what it thinks is the reality for them?
Thank you for having me. Well, it's a tough choice, not only for Walmart, but for a lot of businesses out there, right? Because what Walmart has been saying is that they will try to keep prices as low as possible for as long as possible. But the thing is that they have a tough choice to make, right? As they start seeing higher tariffs, they have to choose between keeping that demand at a time when consumer sentiment is going down, at a time when people are starting to feel jittery about the economy, and protecting their margins. So we could see them back down at some point, but that might not be the case as the tariffs start to make their way across the economy.
So what does this potentially mean, you know, for the millions of Americans who do shop at Walmart and other retailers who import a lot of their products from China and other countries that are indeed facing higher tariffs?
Yeah, that essentially means that after years of high inflation, at the same time, the consumers are also seeing high borrowing costs, right? Those credit card rates, they could see even higher prices. So for consumers, it's a matter of making choices, right? So if prices start to go up at a fast rate, they might start to pull back on some other things like vacations, for example, right? Mm-hmm. And we are starting to see people feel a little less inclined to buy non-essentials at this point.
Yeah, and among the consumers, who are likely to be hardest hit?
In this case, of course, it's low-income consumers, right? They're the ones that have been bearing the brunt of inflation for a long time. But at the same time, we know that tariffs, there's lots of research on that. We know that tariffs tend to hit low-income consumers harder, right? Because they impact everyone just the same. So if you make less, that's a bigger chunk of your income that's going toward those extra costs. So for low-income consumers who have been seeing higher prices for a while, the labor market is still strong, where wage gains are not growing at the same rate that we did see in the past few years. Mm-hmm. This could be another challenge for them. Mm.
And as for Walmart, I mean, what does this tell you that Walmart is making this kind of pronouncement, you know, ahead of time, I mean, or giving a warning to consumers? What is its objective?
Yeah, first of all, they don't want to shock the consumer, right? So by doing that, they don't want to see people going out there like we saw at the start of the pandemic and buying lots of toilet paper when prices do go up, right? So they're trying to warn the consumer that this is coming so that people can prepare ahead of time. But at the same time, you could infer that they're trying to send a message to the White House, right? We know that big box retailers like Walmart, Target, Home Depot, they have met with President Trump in the past month. So that's also a way for them to tell the president, look, we're thinking of raising prices, but there is a way for us not to do so.
All right. We'll leave it there for now. Augusta Sareva, great to see you. Thanks so much.
Thanks for having me.
President Trump is sending one of America's biggest retailers a warning, telling Walmart it should, quote, eat tariffs and not raise prices on its consumers. That post coming in response to the company's CEO announcing it has no option but to raise prices due to the president's tariffs on China. And joining us now, Jack Buffington. He's a professor of supply chain management at the University of Denver. Jack, you are the perfect person to talk to about all of this. Let's just start first with, is it possible financially for Walmart and these other companies to absorb the cost of these tariffs?
Hi, Jessica. As someone who used to work for one of Walmart's suppliers, I know how hard they work to keep prices down. So let me give you a little math here. So the tariffs that, so first off, about a third of Walmart's products are subject to tariffs. Tariffs used to be about 1%. On the average of all the countries, it's probably going to go up to about 10 to 15%. Their net profit margin is less than 3%. So if they eat these tariffs, they will actually lose money. So Walmart will figure it out. Companies like Amazon will figure it out. It's some of those other retailers that are really going to struggle. But even a giant, an efficient giant like Walmart has a very difficult time absorbing these tariffs.
Yeah. And we've gotten new data from the University of Michigan, their survey on consumer sentiment. It's now at the second lowest point on record for the month of April. Were you surprised by this?
I don't think I was very surprised by that. Just a couple weeks before, the consumer price index came down low, which was seen as good news, but I see it as a softening of consumer demand. And I think all the uncertainty that's happening in the supply chain, and we also need to understand that a lot of people are not just consumers in the supply chain, they're also workers in the supply chain, that this is leading to some uncertainty that is softening consumer demand.
Mm. I also want to ask you about the fact that we've seen these ports all along the West Coast looking pretty empty after China halted all its shipping to the U.S. So is big retailers like Walmart that's already dealing with just like the financial impact of tariffs, now you actually have the physical impact about the merchandise, but also these smaller businesses, so many small businesses that make up the United States economy. What does it mean for both of these types of retailers?
Yeah, first off, just to mention what's going on at the ports, as you may recall, in April, there was a surge of all the...
And now that's a wrap for today's episode of On the Radar News Bulletin. Do stay tuned for the Onkonana Dingi program that's coming up with David Shombe and Bernadette Simon. Also, our The Villager newspaper is out today offering in-depth coverage of key issues shaping Namibia. Now, this edition has several pressing topics, including 5 hours to clear an importing truck at Trans-Kalahari border post, primary school to profit from spinach sales, 281,906 kilograms of hides and skins exported in the first quarter, first steps to protect indigenous languages in Namibia, Deputy Minister Dino Baloti on school principals to avail school halls for indoor sports, and Copa Princess reclaim COSAFA title. To stay informed on social and economic developments by grabbing your copy of the e-paper. For real-time updates, ensure that you subscribe to the Eagle Media House WhatsApp channel. That is on 083-081-200-4144. Now from Indafa, happy Juju, it is goodbye and have yourself a wonderful day.